I was thinking yesterday about what we learned, and it's a paradigm shift. The way we thought how to classify these two Torah portions, and the way that the Rebbe says we should classify them this year when reading them as two separate Torah portions. Ordinarily, you think about, as we mentioned yesterday, you think that there is looking at things in a more of a what's the goal, and then there is the details of how that goal is achieved. So it seems like Vayakel is about the sum and Pekud is about the parts. Yakel is about the what, and what is it you're doing, and Pekud is this are the details of how it's done exactly. But we learned yesterday, I think, puts a different definition of each of these two Torah portions. Vayakel is not about what you're trying to do, it's about why you're trying to do it. Vayakel is not about, oh, you're trying to build a tabernacle for Hashem. Vayakel is about why you're trying to build a tabernacle for Hashem. Vayakel is about recognizing, as we mentioned yesterday, that Elkus v'pshitas olam v'schashus, that godliness is a reality, and the world is not as tangible. The world is more abstract. But Vayakel is a perspective that we're making a tabernacle for Hashem because Hashem is a reality. In other words, in the language we learned yesterday, maybe I'll give an example first, then I'll go to the language. Let's say you're trying to build a synagogue or a school or a library. So two different ways of going about it. One way is like, okay, what are our resources, and how can we make this look? How can we make this work? Another way of going about it is, children need a library. Children need a school. Jews need a shul. You're beginning with why we need it, as opposed to like looking at the details. So if you're looking at the details, there's an advantage, because then you'll be able to like assign the resources in the best way and make a good plan. And it will function the best way. We're looking at the resources and how they're supposed to be used. That's very beneficial. But the resources will begin and they'll end with what you have. But if you begin with why, begin with I want to make a place for children because there's no place for children to go. So then you don't just go with the resources. You try to create more resources. You go out and you try to raise funds and you try to do more and you try to make and you go beyond. But the disadvantage of looking at the why is that you're not actually like concentrating on what has to get done. You're just thinking about the mission, the need, the vision. So there's two different things that have to be done. There's a need to look at the vision, and there's a need to look at the practicalities on the ground. So what's the advantage of both? The advantage of looking at the practicalities on the ground is in getting the details functioning in an orderly way. Things should be functional. The advantage of looking at the why, looking at the vision, is to put it puts soul in what you're doing. It puts a soul, and therefore the resources also expand. So there's two. They're saying there's two different Torah portions. There's a time to focus on the vision, and there's a time to focus on the details. And this year, these two Torah portions are separated because we have to look at the vision separately. That's the energy of what this year is about. There has to be a separate discussion of the vision, and that will also enhance the whole discussion about the resources. The resources will also, let's say it in the language that we learned yesterday. Hashem wants a home in the lowest realm. What do you hear in those words? One way of hearing those words are the lowest realm. What is in the lowest realm? Okay, in the lowest realm, we have all these physical things. I probably shared this story too many times. Yankel is coming down to earth to be born. Shmerel is leaving earth because he passed away. Yankel and Shmerel meet halfway between heaven and earth. And Yankel says to Shmerel, "Shmerel, what's going on earth?" Shmerel says, "Well, we do mitzvahs on earth." "Really? I heard that in earth you can get a pair of tzitzis for $40. Is that true?" So Shmerel says, "Yeah, it's true. So why in the world would you want to leave?" He says, "To get the $40, your neshama leaves you to get the $40. So there is looking at the details of what you're trying to accomplish. The home for Hashem in the lowest realm. Look at the details of the lowest realm. Look at the circumstances of your home. circumstances of your neighborhood, circumstances of your community, and think about what you can contribute based upon what exists. That's one of doing, and that's important. Then there's another thing, which is there's the Eibishter, there's Hashem. Hashem is the reality. I mean, Hashem wants he wants a home. You're not looking at where the home is. The home is in the lowest realm. You're looking more about who wants the home. Why are we making this home? It's for the Eibishter, for Hashem. So what you're highlighting is not the lowest realm. What you're highlighting is who the home is for. It's a home for Hashem. And the home for Hashem being spotlighted is a whole different energy. It's a whole different energy. Are you looking at Pico Boulevard and Robertson? Or are you looking at the Eibishter, looking at Hashem, what Hashem, who you're working for? It's a complete paradigm shift. And that's why it's a separate Torah portion. It's not a sum in parts. There's one Torah portion which is focusing on the why and who it's for. Another Torah portion is focusing on the what, the details. And the truth is, as Rebbe makes a point in the notes over here, that when you begin with why, your what is also different. If you start with the what and the details, so you're working with earthiness, you're working with the godly energy within creation, you're working with creation, you're working even with the godly energy within creation. You're talking about the physical things and what they really and what's within them. But if you're talking about who, you're not talking about the world at all. You're talking about Hashem. And when you begin with talking about Hashem, so then that transforms the subsequent conversation about the details. When you begin the conversation with the why, so when we get to the what, it's also otherworldly. It's also done with a different kind of energy. It's not done with nuts and bolts and hammers and nails. It's done with a whole different kind of energy. It's done with. The Rebbe once I heard talking to some board members of a school, and they were talking about different ways they can get a bus, and this used bus, that broken bus, fixing an old bus. And they said, "Why don't you get a new bus?" So we came out, "New bus? You know what a new bus costs?" I said, I don't misquote, but something to the effect of, if you realize the need that the children, they deserve another bus. They deserved, then you find the money. That's the it's different energy, it's a different bus. It's not only a different energy, it's also a different bus. What kind of bus are you getting? Let's say it this way: passion makes things beautiful. When you do a mitzvah passionately, you get the best esrog. So, but Yaakov has to be focused on as a separate Torah portion. It's not just a plan, and then there's the details. Vayakel is a whole different energy. Vayakel is, there's a vision. That's what I'm getting. And this is going to help us understand our question. The question was, why is this connected specifically to Parsha Shkolim? This week, we read not just Vayakel, we read also the extra Torah portion of Parsha Shkolim. What does Vayakel have to do with Shkolim? So let's first analyze Parsha Shkolim a little bit. Parsha Shkolim begins with, everyone has to give a half coin. A rich man shouldn't give more, a poor man shouldn't give less. Everyone has to give the worth of half of a shekel. So question number one is, everything in holiness always has to be perfect. Every sacrifice has to, the animal has to be whole. It's a positive commandment that the vessels in the temple have to be whole, perfect. And when you want to donate something to the temple, you want to donate a vessel's worth of a flour, let's say. It has to be a full vessel's worth of flour, no half. And also the Kohen, who offers a sacrifice, he has to have no blemishes in his body. And here, in this week's additional Torah portion, the Torah emphasizes that the foundation of the whole foundation of the tabernacle, where everything comes from, and the funds that are used for all the communal sacrifices throughout the year, which is this, we're major over here. We're talking not just about a detail, we're talking about the foundation of everything. The foundation of everything is the half coin. The foundation of everything is that everyone should give only a half. Not perfect, only a half. You're making the sockets for the tabernacle. What holds the whole thing together, the foundation. You're making you're collecting the funds for all the sacrifices throughout the year, and the Torah says, no, don't make it perfect, only do half. Why? Question number two. If the goal is to give 50% of a shekel, why does the Torah tell us how much a full shekel is worth. The Torah says a full shekel is worth another currency, a smaller currency of gera. It's worth 20 of those, 20 geras. And you should give half. Why doesn't Torah just say give 10 gera? Give 10. Torah says a full shekel is 20, give half. If you want to tell me how it works in gera, then just say give 10 gera. Why do you say give a full shekel is 20, give half? And this question is enhanced by looking at a contrast to the next section in this Torah portion that which we read last week, which Parshas Shkolim is from. In Parshas Kisisa, we read about the incense. And the Torah says various things and have to be included in the ingredients of the incense. And one of the things is called kinman besem, a cinnamon, fragrant cinnamon. And the Torah says you should half of what you need to give, listen to this, as opposed, listen to this week's Torah portion. You should give half of 20 gera, right? That's how it says in this week's Torah portion. And in the if you could read further in Parashat Kisisa, which we read last week, it says when you give when you get the cinnamon, what's a measurement? How much do you need? The measurement is 250 is half of what you need. Whoa. You see, you hear the opposite. Instead of mentioning the total, it only mentions the half. It says you half of what you need is 250. It mentions the number of what the half is. In this week's Torah portion, doesn't say how much 10 gear. Doesn't say give 10 gear. It says the whole is 20. Figure out. You do the math. But later on, it says no. When regarding the incense, it says you need to give half of the amount that you need to give is 250. The reason why the Torah, I mean, the question is even greater. The reason the Torah says the number of 50% of the amount of the cinnamon sticks for the incense, the reason why the Torah mentions this separately, the 50%, is because you're supposed to offer it in increments of 50%. You're supposed to give each time 250. So although the whole thing that is needed for the incense throughout the year is 500, but the Torah says the amount that you need to give is 250. Since you don't have to give the whole 500, so the Torah just says give the amount you need to give. You hear the logic? It's logical. Since you don't have to give the whole thing at once, you only have to give, you're supposed to give specifically half of it at once. You're supposed to weigh. You're supposed to make two different calculations of 250, then 250. So the Torah only says it 250. That's what the Torah says. The total you need to bring over there, are you following or no? The total you got to bring over there is 500. But since you have to get an increment of 250, the Torah only mentions 250. And then the total is 500. Here, the total you have to give is 10 gera. You don't have to give the whole shekel, ever. Only giving a half shekel. And yet, the Torah doesn't mention how much the half shekel is, only mentions how much the whole shekel is, which isn't even relevant because you're not giving a whole shekel. You got it? You hear the question?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Question number three. It says a rich man shouldn't give more, a poor man shouldn't give less. Why does it have to say rich and poor? Why are we getting into the privileges of... why are we getting into that discussion? Just say not more, not less. Why does it have to get into the classes of people, rich, poor? Who mentioned? Why is that relevant? So the answer is, as we'll see, giving the half coin is above the details. Being given the half coin is similar to a yakel. It's about how everything belongs to Hashem, as we'll see. But let's first go over the... What? You okay with that? Yeah?
No.
Okay. So there's two different messages, two different lessons. We're going to go back there. We're going to figure out why that's the something to why the half coin is, means serving Hashem beyond detail, serving Hashem with why. We're going to go to that afterwards, but first let's go to the two explanations of what the half shekel is about. One explanation of the half shekel, half coin, is this. It emphasizes the unity of the Jewish people. Every Jew has to know and feel he by himself is only a half, and for him to be perfect, he needs to unite with someone else. You have to love your fellow like yourself, and only by connecting and becoming one with another Jew can you become a whole shekel. Can you become a holy shekel? So it's highlighting the unity of Jews. Half shekel, know that you're a half. Second message from the half coin is this. every Jew, every individual Jew, and all the Jewish people are united with Hashem. Jewish people are half, Hashem is half. The Jewish people and Hashem are one. They're one entity, they're one full entity. This is how the Mizrachi Maggid explains the mitzvah of the silver trumpets, that Moshe had to have two silver trumpets. The word trumpets in Hebrew is made up of two parts, chatzi tzura, half of an image. So the Mizrachi Maggid says, this, the two silver trumpets of Moshe Rabbeinu, the language that's used for those trumpets, chatzotzros, indicate that a Jew and Hashem are only half of an image. They're missing. Only together are they a whole image. So these are the two explanations of what the half coin is about. Is it about the unity of the Jewish people? It's one message. Or another message, it's about the unity of the Jewish people. The Hashem, the Jew without another Jew is a half, and a Jew without Hashem is a half. And these two explanations are connected to each other. Why? Because when you feel that you are only complete with Hashem, and without Hashem you're not complete, then you're able to really love another person. As Altarba says at length in Tanya, in chapter 32, he says, what's the key to loving your fellow like yourself? It's by realizing the godliness in yourself and spotlighting it and highlighting it and cherishing it more than your body, more than the physical. Because if I value my soul, my neshama, then I realize that you're my brother, because we both are souls coming from one God. So when I realize that my neshama is, that my reality is Hashem, and that I'm not complete without Hashem, and that is who I really am, and I value my neshama because my neshama is a part of Hashem, and that's why I need Hashem, because He is my reality, then I'll unite with you also, because you are also neshama. We're brothers. If I feel I'm complete without Hashem, then what am I feeling? I'm feeling body. I'm looking at body. I don't need Hashem. So then, how do you look at another person? Look at another person. You say, oh, how do I? What's your yardstick? Your yardstick is in the LA virus language. What, you know, the LA virus. Gimme. What can you give me? The whole LA is like about our town. But let's say about an industry party. You go an industry party. What's an industry party? You an actor? Your producer? You know, they walk around. Okay, I don't want to talk to you. You're not a producer. The bottom line is, when you feel that you are missing something because another Jew is not, when you feel that you're not complete without Hashem, you automatically feel that another Jew is connected to you because he's also part of Hashem, and you're brothers. So in order to really connect to another Jew, you have to feel that you are only half out of Hashem. And that's the theme of giving the half shekel in our service of Hashem, that you feel that your reality, that who are you, you're part of Hashem. And you without Hashem are a half. And only together are you one, are you a whole. The Jewish people and Hashem are one. Okay, so now we can understand the difference between the gift of the half coin and every other service of Hashem, which had to be perfect. The perfection in every detail in the service of Hashem in the tabernacle, the perfection of the body of the Kohen, the perfection of the sacrifice, perfection of the vessels in which they were brought, that perfection highlights every detail in the service of Hashem has to be perfect. Although you're doing one tiny thing, and there's a thousand and a million, there's many, many other things that have to get done, but this detail has to be done perfectly. That's why there has to be the Kohen has to have be perfect, and because every detail in the Hashem's service has to be perfect. That's why everything had to be whole. Everything has to fulfill its role in the tabernacle perfectly. And even something which has to be brought in segments of 50%, the Torah doesn't classify the gift of the ingredient of the incense as half of 500, and emphasizes that it's 250 to say that this is already considered perfect. Since the Torah wants it to be done in this way, this is the full amount right now. The Torah emphasizes the number is not 500, the Torah emphasizes the number is 250, because that's what the Torah wants you to do, and therefore this is considered perfect. The number is 250. That's considered perfect. Yes, we're going to get to 500, but that's not what you need to know. You need to know that every detail is perfect, and therefore 250 is the number the Torah emphasizes, saying this is the full amount we have to give right now. Torah is emphasizing by saying 250 that every detail, including when something is done in increments, that each part has to be done fully and perfectly. But perfection Perfection is about the existence of things. Perfection is about the what that you're doing. Perfection is about the what, that everything you're doing has to be fully used to serve Hashem. But then there's something higher than the what. There's feeling. There's the feeling of the why and of why you're doing the whole thing in the first place. And that's the idea of the half coin. That when you feel that you're half coin, then you go beyond the parameters of yourself, beyond the parameters of the world. You want to connect with Hashem. And therefore, when you have everything, you have a perfect tabernacle, right? How do you look at the perfect tabernacle? Not just one detail is perfect. Everything's perfect. How are you supposed to feel about that? So Torah says, I want you to know how you're supposed to feel. You are a half a coin, and 20 gera is a whole coin, and you're only a half. That with all the perfection you have in the tabernacle, everything's running. You have the koyanim, you got the sacrifices, the whole thing's running perfectly. So the whole thing you're looking at is only half the picture. Because the real perfection is not in this in the nuts and bolts of the tabernacle. It's not in the what. The real perfection is in the connection with Hashem. The Jewish people and Hashem are one. That's how you have wholeness. Wholeness is in 20. Holiness, whatever you do, is not going to be 20. You need to, the number 20 represents the 10 soul powers of a Jew and the 10 spheres of Hashem, the 10 divine spheres in the world of Atzilus. Only together is there 20. 20 represents, is a numerical equivalent to the word keser, the crown, the essence of the Jewish people that is beyond the 10 spheres, and the essence of Hashem, which is beyond his 10 spheres. The number, the keser, although it's officially part of the, it represents, let's say it this way, it represents the essence of Hashem. It's connected to the essence of Hashem. Just like a keser means a crown, so the beauty of the king is seen in this crown. So although keser is a level within the spiritual cosmos, beyond the world of Atzilus, but it represents the essence of Hashem. So what makes the perfection? By feeling that all the things, all the details that are done perfectly are only half, and it's about connecting with Hashem. Only with connection with Hashem is there perfection. And when you have that feeling that only with connection to Hashem is it perfect, and by yourself, despite the fact that every detail is perfect, it's not perfect, because perfection is only in connecting with Hashem. Through this, when you go to the world, when you go to the what, you go to the things that you have to achieve, you don't only connect with the Gali energy within each thing, you also connect with the Gali energy which is beyond the world. In the essence of Hashem and the essence of the Jew are revealed. So the essence of Hashem, the essence of a Jew are one. So, and actually the way the Aramaic the number for one is Chad, not Echad like in Hebrew. Chad represents the something beyond Echad. Echad represents the oneness of Hashem, but Aleph stands for master, master of something, master of world. Chad means oneness. It's not master of something else. Aleph, Echad, starts with an Aleph. Aleph means master of the world. It's about creation. It's about something. It's about a thing. Hashem is a master of something. But the word, when we say the Jewish people and Hashem are one, we use our Aramaic term Chad, which means it's not about the godliness within creation. It's about the essence of Hashem unites with the essence of a Jew. And this is brought into into the world. The essence of godliness and the essence of a Jew are into the details. So now we understand what the Torah emphasizes, the rich man should not give more and the poor man should not give less. Because if you're talking about the details, the what, the how, then you need to ask, rich, poor, what do we have? Each person has to give what they can perfectly, as much as they have, whatever they've got. So a poor man gives less, a rich man gives more. They have to use what they have to give for the tabernacle. But if you're talking about the half coin, talking about the why, you're talking about going beyond yourself, the rich man doesn't give more, the poor man doesn't give less. We're talking about a level beyond rich and poor. The Torah wants to emphasize we're talking about something which is beyond what you have. We're talking about who you are and why you're giving in the first place, because you are a half coin and you need the Eibishter. And based on this, we could also explain why the sacrifices for the whole year were purchased with these funds. L'chaim.
So I'm going to go to this tomorrow.
Okay, go to this tomorrow, hopefully, and we'll hear your question. Go ahead.
Quick question. Keter is a gematria for...
Esrim, which is 20, is America equivalent to Keser. Esrim, okay, let me spell that. That makes sense. The word in Hebrew, 20, Ein, Sin, Reish, Yud, Mem, take all those letters together, and you add them, the word for 20 in Hebrew equals to Keser.
And Esrim means?
20. So the 20 Gera, the sum total of the amount.
Okay, I got that. So another way of saying this is saying, you know, we start off a prayer, Aray, you say that before we begin the prayer, right?
Yeah, actually, that I was going to discuss it later on. Yeah.
Okay, sure, because that also reflects to us that our prayers are not complete, and we are not complete until we do our half of the mitzvah, recognizing we're not complete.
Wow.
Until we're in unity. And that's why a man doesn't have to give, man should not feel less than half, and should not feel less than complete or more than complete based on his economic status.
Like the Rashman, I can't believe that you chapped what the Rebbe is going to go on to say. The Rebbe is going to say that that's how you have to begin praying. Even though you haven't said the first prayer yet, the very first intro and the prayer is you think of a Jew in the other end of the world. I think that Davin is rubbing off on you, man. Kol Kavod. You connected to Rebbe's message. Kol Kavod.
Thank you.
Chaim.